God has given us two hands, one for receiving and the other for giving. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell teaches us how to steward the blessings of God.
Noah had to be willing to sacrifice his reputation. Noah was viewed upon as the idiot of his generation. Do you realize that people in our society are not saying, oh, that's wonderful. You believe the Bible. Wonderful. Oh, you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Wonderful. No, most of society is looking down on that narrow belief. And sometimes people say, you're so narrow. And I always say the same thing, about as narrow as that book right there.
Stewardship is an act of worship, an expression of faith, and a discipline for spiritual growth. In our series, The Gracious Steward, Pastor Chappell shows us how to steward the resources God has entrusted in our care. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Many Christians find it difficult to practice stewardship. But stewardship is more than giving money. It's about being accountable to God for the blessings He has given us. Today, we invite you to learn more about what it means to be a gracious steward. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called From Grace to Faith.
Hebrews 11 is sometimes called the Hall of Faith because it tells us about great men and women who lived by faith. And one of the things I love about our text this morning is the Bible says that even though they are dead, they're still speaking. Their testimonies were so great. And you think about these different ones that were martyred for Christ and that lived for Christ in so many wonderful ways. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're reminded that Abel offered an offering by faith, and Enoch walked by faith, and Abraham obeyed God by faith, and Noah built an ark by faith. And the Bible says of these that though they were dead, yet they speak. By the way, how many of you would like it to be said of you when God calls you home? How many of you would like it to be said of you that you lived a life of faith for your God? That would be a wonderful testimony and a wonderful legacy. And imagine these people, their names are in the Holy Bible as people who lived by faith. Now, we live in a day when people are really good at tearing stuff down. People like to criticize on the internet. People like to march and criticize this, that, and the next thing. And people are pretty good at tearing other people down and tearing things down. But we're trying to learn how to build something, how to build a family, how to build a testimony, how to build a church for the glory of God. And what we see this morning is that when grace gets into the occasion and when grace gets into the equation, then you want to build something for the glory of God. Grace-filled people don't tear everything down. It's grace-filled people that build things up. And we see something about Noah that's really important as we begin this morning. Genesis 6:8 says this, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Let's say that together. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So this man who was the recipient of God's grace didn't spend his life tearing things down. He spent his life building something up. And when you are a gracious person, then your life is a life that's edifying and building, whether it's building your fifth grade daughter by telling her how pretty she is, or building your seventh grade son by telling him how proud you are, or building your wife by telling her how lucky you are to have her. Or whether it's building in the way of giving today or building tomorrow a testimony at work, all of that is the outpouring of God in you, God's grace in you. And I want you to see this little quote here this morning. I jotted in the notes, I believe. When grace transforms my motivation, it will alter my living. When I really understand what God has done for me and His grace is in me, it changes the way that I live. No longer am I a self-destroyer. Now I'm a builder-upper. I'm an edifier of others. And that's what happens to Noah. God's grace was upon him, and the result was he built something wonderful for God. Now I want you to see the connection between God's grace and the faith in Noah so that we today will be a people not just giving an offering, not just going to church, but that we'll be a people of grace and faith in the way that we live. Let's begin our message this morning by looking at faith defined. What is faith according to the Bible? Verse number one, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is defined first of all in revelation. The Bible is God's revealed word, and God is revealing to us the meaning of faith. And we will either live our lives by reason or by revelation. I want you to think of that. People walk according to their own reason or according to their revelation. And today, you're either going to be living by what you think is best, reason, or you're going to live by the revelation of the Bible. People live one or two ways, by reason or by revelation. God wants us to live by revelation. He wants us to see his revealed truth is that faith is the substance of things hoped for. He says, I want you to believe my word, my written word. And so the word substance means confidence. Faith is to the Christian what a foundation is to the house. It gives confidence and assurance that the house will stand and that your life will stand. And so we see the substance of things hoped for. The full assurance of our future is that God is in control, that all things work together for good that love him and are called according to his purpose. And in Revelation, we are taught to trust God. J. Oswald Sanders says, faith enables the believer to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. So let's take, for example, heaven. We know quite a bit about heaven. We know there's no crying there. There's no death there. There's no sickness there. There's streets of gold. There's gates of pearl. We know the light is Jesus Christ himself, but none of us have ever been there before. Yet because of faith, we treat the future as present. We believe the word of God. And so here we see it's the substance of things hoped for. Then it says, secondly, the evidence of things not yet seen. The word evidence means convincing proof. That is to say that when we step out by faith, we're just convinced that God is able. We don't know how, we just know he can, and we believe that he will. That's kind of how our journey has been. If you're newer here to Lancaster Baptist Church, when I came here 30 years ago, we had no salary, no Sunday school teachers to speak of. We had couldn't even find the telephone. I was so happy on the sixth or seventh day when it rang long enough, I finally found it in a closet. It was a wrong number, but it was an exciting day in my ministry nevertheless, just to find the telephone. We didn't have a lot. We didn't know a lot, but we knew this. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I remember when we bought this property out here at 40th Street East and Lancaster Boulevard. I remember coming out and taking some pictures, and there I am right there, the skinny guy right there. You'll notice all the hair, by the way. That's before the building program started. Just standing on the corner. I mean, I didn't have anything except faith in a God that I believe would take the future and make it a reality. And then I wanted to get our church members excited and growing in faith, and I didn't know how to do that, so I thought, I have a good idea. Let's have a picnic out there at 40th Street East and Lancaster Boulevard. On a day kind of like today when the wind was whipping up, so we all had sand burgers. And if you've never had a sand burger, you're just not a godly Christian yet, all right? So you'll get there someday. But boy, we were just having faith out there, and we didn't know what in the world was going on. We had bought our first 20 acres. We were having sand burgers. We just believed that the God who saved us was able to raise up a mighty church for his honor and glory. He's not done doing that yet, but he's done an awful lot since those early sand burgers, and we're able to step back and say, wow, look at what God has done time and time and time again as we've seen him do wonderful things with people just stepping out by faith. Like Abraham in Romans 4 and 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, someone might say, you know, what is the basis for the Christian faith? I mean, who is your backing? It's not a political party. It's not even a denomination. The foundation of our faith is not that we've got a denomination standing behind us. So what's the foundation of our faith? I will tell you this morning, when I think about the foundation and the substance of our faith, I believe, first of all, it is that our faith is built upon the historical record of the life and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, simply stated, hey, we serve a God who conquered death and the grave. I think he can use us to build a building. I think he can use us as we send out over 220 missionaries. I believe if we just keep trusting God, the God that conquered death and the grave, we've got a foundation. But not only is our foundation the resurrected Christ, but our foundation is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. We believe that what God says, he will do. God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not, you see. God's infallible Word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when we come to the Word of God, we come to it not as the Word of men, but as the Word of God. And so in Revelation, we see our faith is defined. Our God is able. But not only do we see it defined in Revelation, we see it defined also in the reward that faith brings. I believe the faith-filled life is the most rewarding life you can ever live. For those of you that checked a little box about tithing and maybe just kind of shaking as you checked it, I want to tell you something. God's going to honor that faith because it's a rewarding life indeed that trusts in God. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Folks, that's a powerful statement by itself. We cannot even please God without faith. It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want you to notice that word, rewarder. Let's say that together. The rewarder. It means the one who pays the wages, the one who bestows rewards. God's blessing comes to those who trust in him, to those who say, Lord, I'm launching out, whether it's a missionary going to the mission field, whether it's some of these young men that are planting churches that we're helping, whether it's us today giving to expand the work of God at Lancaster Baptist Church. God says, I am the rewarder of those that diligently seek me. And you see, the greatest decision in Noah's life was not the decision to build the ark. It was the decision to seek God. It was the decision to follow God and to walk with God. I mean, just think of this logically. If Noah wasn't following God and seeking God, would he have built the ark? That's the craziest thing you've ever heard of. Listen, the man had never seen rain, much less a boat. The man had no idea about how to build a boat. I don't think he would have believed God for even one second if he wasn't a man who'd been walking and knowing God and trusting in God. And God says, if you step out by faith and follow me, I'm going to reward you. Genesis 6:9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah was a man who walked with God, as we'll see this morning, by faith. So faith is defined in Revelation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But notice secondly this morning, faith developed. Now, how did Noah's faith develop, and how does our faith develop? Because honestly, there's all different levels of faith here this morning. I mean, there's some people here today who had enough faith to come to church and believe that the Bible could say something to them, and that's wonderful. And there's other people who've had enough faith to trust God through times of difficulty in the hospital, and to trust God through various challenges, and to trust God some in giving, some in different ways. Different forms and levels of faith are here today. And we see in the Bible that there are different types of expressions of faith. Abel worshiped God by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. Noah built for God by faith. And when you read verse number 7, you see that Noah's faith involved his whole person. His mind was warned of God. His heart was moved with fear towards God. And his will caused him to step out and build something for God. So the definition of faith and the development of faith is seen in Noah's life. How did his life develop? Notice, first of all, it developed in response to God's word. When you hear God and when I hear God's word and when I am not just a hearer but a doer, my faith muscle begins to pop up because I'm exercising faith. So verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He didn't just hear it, but he obeyed God's word. Noah believed the warning of God. How many of you understand warnings from God are important? I mean, warnings in general are important. One zoo had a sign, please do not feed your fingers to the animals, very appropriately stated. Warning signs are important. And God warned Noah, I'm going to destroy this earth. And I'm warning you, Noah, and I want you to move with fear. And Noah accepted God's word. Now notice what it says in verse 7. It says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. In other words, he had never heard of this stuff. He didn't know what God had in mind. I mean, how could you envision something like a worldwide flood? But Noah believed God and he responded to the word of God. And some of you know the backstory to this. The Bible tells us that the world was exceedingly wicked. Every imagination and every thought was only wicked continually in the days of Noah. Genesis 6:13, the end of all flesh has come before me, God said. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God was not happy with the sin on the earth. And he came to Noah and he said, Noah, I'm going to bring an end to the world as it has been known, and I've had grace upon you. Noah, you need to recognize that by faith, I want you to move with fear or awe or respect and build this ark. And by the way, how many of you realize the Bible says, and we'll see this in a moment, that at the end of this age, the world will resemble the age of Noah more than anything else? That there will be increasing and more wickedness. And we see it in the proliferation through the internet, through television, through various things. But I'm simply saying we're moving more and more towards the days of Noah as we see the society changing all around us. But Noah, in the midst of a wicked society, believed God's prophecy about this ark. And I want you to know that obedience is deeply more than begrudging duty. It is a response of joyful willingness captured by God's glory, goodness, and grace. When someone is obedient to the Lord from their heart, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we see in the life of Noah. He had never seen an ark. He had never seen rain. He had never seen a worldwide flood. He'd never seen animals marching in two. He just heard God and believed God. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the simplest definition of what faith is really all about. So then he starts following God's instructions, and he takes this gopher wood and he covers the inside with pitch, and he takes this structure, probably 450 feet long, maybe a football field and a half long, and 45 feet high and 75 feet wide, and it takes them 120 years to build this. They had no power saws, they had no cranes. It's just Noah obeying God for 120 years. What are you doing, Noah? As they made fun of him, I'm obeying God. Well, why are you doing that? God said it, I believe it. Well, how foolish can you be? By the way, that's what your friends think about you when you go to church and when you live for God and when you don't party and when you don't go to the bar and when you give to the work of God. They think you're absolutely nuts, just like they thought Noah was absolutely nuts. But he was doing all of this in response to God's word. I mean, some of you need to get right down to the basics. Do you believe the Bible is actually the word of God? Because if you do, it changes everything. Now, many people don't want to believe that because they want to be their own God. It's called the idolatry of self. But along the way, my friend, you come to realize this is a lot bigger than me, and you cannot say that there is no God. You've never been to Mars and turned over every rock. You've never been to every planet to discover that there is no God. Noah, just by faith, said, I believe there is a God, and I intend to obey my God. So it was in response to God's word. And then secondly, Noah had reverence to God's power. I mean, Noah wasn't the giver and taker of life. Noah wasn't the creator. He reverenced the God of heaven. Notice what it says. Noah, being warned of God, verse 7, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Would you say that with me? Moved with fear. Moved with fear. You say, oh, see, that's what Christianity is. Everybody's just afraid of God. That's why they go to church. They're all full of fear. No, no. The word fear is not implying, oh, God's going to kill me if I don't go to church. It means respect or awe. It means that Noah had an awe of God. And by the way, folks, don't ever get over the wonder of it all. the wonderful God that we serve, His power, His majesty. Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we see faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And faith is simply developed as we obey the Bible and obey the Bible and obey the Bible. Our faith is stronger and stronger. Notice finally this morning, faith displayed. Now we get to see Noah's faith in action. And it tells us how he did this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So he displayed his faith by building a structure. It was a structure called an ark. He prepared it, which means he equipped it. He did all that God had commanded him to do. And this ark was a testimony to his faith. And folks, when people drive out here to the east side, Lancaster Boulevard and 40th Street East, they see a campus rising up out of the desert floor. It is a testimony not to us, because we know who we are. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. It is a testimony to a wonderful God and a faithful God, and to a faithful people who have trusted God for 30 years. And when people see this, sometimes they might laugh and say, what are those Baptists doing? What are they building now? What is that out there? Some kind of a Baptist city? I've heard all kinds of things and worse. Let me tell you what it is. It's a bunch of people who believe the Bible is the Word of God and who just keep trusting the Lord. Faith is just continually trusting the Lord. And with every one of the buildings on this campus, as a pastor, I had to move with holy awe of God and just trust the Lord that God was going to bring this to pass, because we're trying to educate another generation for the cause of Jesus Christ. And when you're building a structure, it's going to require sacrifice. Noah had to be willing to sacrifice his reputation. Noah was viewed upon as the idiot of his generation. Do you realize that people in our society are not saying, oh, that's wonderful, you believe the Bible, wonderful. Oh, you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, wonderful. No, most of society is looking down on that narrow belief. And sometimes people say, you're so narrow. And I always say the same thing, about as narrow as that book right there. People weren't clapping for Noah either. They thought he was weird. No, never seen rain in the world ever, and the guy's building a boat? Honestly. They thought he was, you know, a few fries short of a Happy Meal. And yet Noah was willing to risk what people thought in order to do what God wanted him to do. He was willing to sacrifice. And sometimes it comes to our lives as a kind of a Macedonian church, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And it seems like God will often come to those that don't have as much. And yet, as we do what God calls us to do by faith, He gets in the middle of it and He blesses it. Sort of like in John chapter 6, when the disciples said, Lord, everybody's hungry. We got to feed these 5,000 people. And they said, the only one here is this little kid, and he's got some loaves and fishes. And just by faith, He said, here, Jesus, you can have what I have. And God took those loaves and fishes and He fed 5,000 people. They had 12 basketfuls left over because of a young man that was willing just to say, here, Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice so that you can build your kingdom. Noah had to make this decision. I may look dumb here on this earth, but I'm going to do what really matters for heaven. I'm going to lay up treasure. I'm going to give my life so that God's will be done. It required of him sacrifice. It required of him his labor. In fact, for 120 years he labored. And so he displayed his faith in building a structure. And what these structures say to our community is that we are a people who still believe God. We're not here maintaining stuff. We're here building for the glory of God. And I know how this goes. The devil hates churches that build. If all we were building was an outhouse, the devil would hate that. He doesn't want any church to build anything, but we're going to keep going for the Lord Jesus Christ, occupying until Jesus Christ comes again. But you see, the thing of it was, there was something more at stake than the structure. Because some people, that's all they see. Ah, oh, they're just building buildings again. That's all they see. And we've said this for years. Buildings don't change lives. But what happens in them does change lives. How about the ark?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchapel.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.